How's everyone this morning? Man, it is great to see you all this morning. This place is full. I feel like I'm in second service and a lot of families back. It's good to see family home, a lot of faces I haven't seen in a long time. It's great to have you here with your families worshiping. I love this day. You know, I got a text from a friend of mine. I was at his service, Good Friday service. What an awesome service, community service over at Colonial Woods. And Pastor Phil, he was just fired up. He's a good friend, and he sent me a text this morning. I'm thinking, one, why isn't he in the pulpit? I knew they had an 8 o'clock service, but he just, right before that, decided to say, hey, Pastor Mitch, just praying for you guys. And I thought, thanks, that is awesome. When our community comes together, it doesn't matter if it's missionary church or Baptist church or Pentecost or Catholic, you know what? Around the world, we're celebrating something important. The appointed time. Do you know that at exactly the right time, God set an appointed time for Christ to come into this world? God has an appointment calendar. And I want to share that with you. We've been talking about the time. It's time. And we've been doing a whole series, and we wrap it up today on Easter Sunday about the appointed time. And I love the idea that at just the right time, Galatians says, at just the right, perfect time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem you and I under the law. God's timing's perfect. I don't know about you, I grew up, my father is a Western fanatic. There's one channel on the farm that my dad watches. It has got to be the Western Channel. It doesn't matter what's going on. I know where he's at when I call him in South Dakota at the farm at 8 o'clock at night. He's usually about dozed off, sitting in his recliner, watching John Wayne or Clint Eastwood. I mean, he was born in the wrong era. That's the problem. And I always tell him that, and he goes, I know. I should have been born back then. What I love growing up, watching these stories, no matter what was happening, no matter what was going on, the enemy had the people surrounded. They circled the wagons, right? And no matter what happened, I mean, it was desperate. It was dark. They had no hope. It looked like everybody was finished. But you know what? You could hear the trumpet in the distance. And you know what was going on? Help at just the right time was on the way. The cavalry was on the way. And the Duke, John Wayne, would come riding in, trumpets blowing, charging the sound, and they came in and they saved the day. Isn't that great? Because I know this, no matter how dark your hour, no matter how much you've been surrounded, no matter what's going on, not the cavalry, but Calvary is on the way. Jesus Christ, at just the right time, always shows up to save the day. He is our Savior. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you are going through things thinking I'm at the end of my rope. I can't go on anymore. Look what's happening in our world. I had a Canadian friend I had lunch with the other day, and he said, really, Pastor? You got this presidential election going on? That's the best you guys could come up with? I said, I'm sorry. He goes, it's okay. We're Canadian. We didn't do any better. It doesn't matter what's going on in the politics. North Korea's talking about putting nuclear bombs together. Iran's talking about the economy. It doesn't matter. Some people are so stressed out about what's happening around us. We circled the wagons. We said, that's it. I'm done. Can I tell you something? Calvary is on the way. God is going to save the day. Because the Bible says at just the right time, God sends his son. There's not a moment in your life where God doesn't know what's going on. Some of you think, I have no hope. Can I tell you, that's what faith is, have hope. God is on his way. God is on his way. Let me say that again. God is on his way. If you don't have him right now saving your day, you can give your life to him and surrender, and Calvary is on the way. I was talking to one of my board members, the gal who started our Joy Ministries, her mother, and she told me just yesterday, she said, Pastor, where the doctors had told my mom when she had her cancer, when they found that so long ago, not so long ago, when you're going through this for a year or several months, And they said, we could do chemo, but there is nothing that we can do. You need to make plans, and we're going to just tell you 6 months. But can I tell you something? We prayed. We prayed the Hezekiah prayer. Say, God, give her, don't give her 16 months. Give her 15 more. Give her 15 years. I'm going to be as selfish as I can. And I understand that cancer happens, but you know what? Cancer might happen, but Calvary always comes in to save the day. I'm not saying we don't get sick. I'm not saying we don't go through tough times. But can I tell you, if we trust Jesus, he has a plan for us. And at just the right time, he shows up. I was told yesterday the doctors kind of shook their head because they gave her 6 months, and that's been a while ago. And they said, this is all we're going to do. Well, they went ahead and did just a little bit more. And her cancer is now in remission, and she's about to be cancer-free. That is a healing. Now, I'm not saying, you know what, you ought to just go curl up in a ball and say, this is my life. I'm not saying that you should just run around acting like things don't happen. What I'm saying is this, when things start happening and you circle the wagons, know this, there's a trumpet in the distance, and Gabriel's going to blow it, and God's going to say, everything is going to be all right. That's what Calvary's all about. You see, Jesus dying in a tomb, being buried for 3 days, wasn't the end of the story. Your bankruptcy, your finances, your government, all that's going on around you is not the end of the story. God is going to raise us up. If he could bring Jesus out of a grave, he can bring you out of the grave. That's who God is. I'm so excited this morning because at just the right time, I want to share a couple things about time that I know. Number one, God sets the appointed times in our lives. How many of you know that? God sets the times for us. If you're following God, he has a divine plan for your life. Galatians 4:4 is a great scripture. Take a look at this. This is in your Bible, but when the time, and I love this, when the time had fully come. In other words, God was making a plan. He was putting it together. It wasn't 10 years. It wasn't 50. It wasn't 100 years. It was at the moment that God needed. He could have done this anytime, but when the time fully came, God sent his son. Can I tell you, when the time fully comes, God sends us reminders. You know, we're in this building, and people ask, what are you going to do? All around the city, I got folks saying, hey, we all have our antennas up. We're looking for something for you, Pastor. Where are you guys going? Well, I know for a few months we're going to be right here for sure. That's a no-brainer. I don't know if in a year, I don't know if in 5 years, but I'll tell you what, we're moving quick that we're going to have an ark that we did not build because God said 3 years ago, get ready. I have an ark. If God hadn't spoken, he said, in the fullness of time, he said, get ready 3 years. You can't make this stuff up. God prepared us as a people. And you know what's great about that is had God not said a word, I'd have sat here and said, what? The owner's saying, we want to turn this into storage? You got to move out of this place. I said, God, what's going on? I quit. I can't deal with this. My whole life's just been uprooted. But God said 3 years ago, I'm going to uproot the church, and I'm going to move you into a higher level, into a new place, and you need to get ready. 3 years, get ready. And we've been putting money aside. We have almost $100,000 in the bank. We are going to pay this thing down. We are going to find a place, and God is opening doors. We're going to be sharing that with you more and more. But you know what? I have a confidence of this. God says, I want to tell you as a people, I've been watching you, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you in 3 years. And you know what? It's nice to know that God is watching out for us. God has appointed times, doesn't he? We just had a miracle baby born the other day. The Harders, Ryan and Michelle, I don't know if they're here. Are you guys here? They were going to try to come to church. They just had a baby a couple days ago. They said, we'll see you Sunday. I went, if that were me, I'm so thankful that God, I'm not a woman, have to give birth to a child. I said, see me in a couple days. I'll see you in a month. They just had a miracle baby. The doctor said, you guys aren't going to be able to bear a child. It's just not going to happen because you've had miscarriages and you just need to consider adoption. On Christmas Eve, she's sitting there around and her stomach starts bouncing around. She says, something's wrong. He says, we need to get to the doctor. They went to the doctor. They said, you're pregnant. Pregnant? We're not supposed to have children. They said, well, you're 5 months pregnant. Again, listen, if my stomach's bouncing around, I know it's not Taco Bell. 5 months? Christmas found out they were having a baby, and Easter had a baby. I tell you, that's a miracle baby right there in every form of the word. God has a plan. God sends us reminders. God leaves us breadcrumbs. He leaves us a trail saying, I just want you to know I have a time set for you, and you just watch that clock, and I'm going to show you things. I mean, from the very word, from the very beginning of time, there were 450 prophecies about Jesus Christ. I mean, God left breadcrumbs. 45 different men who've never met each other wrote stories in different languages. Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and David, all these guys wrote these stories about a Messiah. Over 450 specific things saying, this is going to happen. And Jesus shows up at the right time. The Calvary is always going to be at the right time. Let me just show you something in Scripture to help you understand this. God never does anything by accident. He knows your life. At the very beginning, God begins to name people. There's God, and then he has a creation, and he makes a man by the name of, help me out here, Adam. Adam had a son named Seth, and then on and on. So they had all these kids. If you take from the time of God with Adam to the time of Noah, just this story, and by the way, you can do this all the way through until the time of Jesus, and you take the definition of the meaning of each Hebrew word, here's what it says. The God-man is appointed to be a mortal man of sorrows is born. The glory of God shall come down, instructing that his death shall bring those in despair comfort and rest. I'm telling you, God has left us a trail. Get your CSI mask on, because guess what? God wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. People say, you can't prove God. You know what? Actually, you can. Because mathematically, 450 prophecies, God has shown himself to prove himself, to say, there is no other human possible that could be the Son of God. I am God's Son, here to show you. I'm here to redeem those who are lost. You can't make this stuff up. This stuff's written 4,000 years before Jesus is even born. I mean, God proves himself. There's a great scripture in Proverbs 25:2. And get this, in Proverbs 25, we have Solomon saying, it is the glory of God to hide things. Here, I mean, this morning, some of your kids, you know, Easter baskets, where's it at? Where's it at? Where's that? It's the glory of God to put things and hide them for you, treasures for you. But it is the matter of the king to find it. That's what the King James says. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but to search out a matter, it is the glory of kings. What he's saying is this: God is really excited to his glory to put treasures in your life, but it is awesome to go find those treasures and discover them from God. Isn't that great? Wasn't it cool? I saw some of you had cameras out. You were taking pictures of those names. You can get those. Just contact the office. I'm sure John would love to get you all that information. You can Google it. There's more information out there. You can find whatever you want to know about God. But he proved himself, and he said, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Let me just take this, for instance. King David, you're here this morning, and you want to know that God is on his way in your situation. King David, being hunted down, probably wrote these words in a desert or in a cave. Psalm 22. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, before there was a Roman Empire, before crucifixion was even invented. Take a look at Psalm 22. From the director of music to the tune, the Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Where do we hear those words? They're fulfilled in Jesus Christ on a cross in agony when he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, and he's speaking in Aramaic, my God, you mean Jesus Christ fulfilled this? David saw Jesus on a cross hundreds of years. What's a cross? I don't know. Why is a man on a tree hanging there crucified? What's crucifixion? I don't know. But I see it. I'm going to write this down. In verse 7 and 8, look what he says. This is the same psalm. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults. They shake their heads. They say, he trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him. Well, who said that? The thieves on the cross. And the Pharisees and the people said, well, he claims to be God. Let him save himself. Let God save him. Are you getting this? God wants you to know at the right time, he's already seeing your tomorrow. I don't know what your tomorrows are, folks. I don't know what hospital you're going to be in 10 or 20 years. I don't know what's going on in your relationships or what your checkbook's going to look like. We don't know in Michigan what the economy is going to look like. But can I tell you, God's already there, and he's got your tomorrow. He appoints times. Look at verse 14. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away. You know, Jesus was on that cross, and his blood, he lost almost all the blood to the point where all that he had left surrounded his heart, and he went into hypovolemic shock. The last vestige, the last vessel in his heart, it was his heart, and that's all he had left, and they stabbed him in his side, and water flowed out because water surrounds that to protect, and then blood. His mouth was dry, and they offered him vinegar because he was so parched. And David saw this because God told him, there's a Messiah coming. I have an appointment. Look at verse 16. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They pierced my hands and feet. Could you see David going, what does that even mean? Well, who pierces? What's a piercing? And in verse 18, it says, they divide my garments among them. Well, the Roman soldiers did that. What I really want you to focus in on is verse 6. Look at this. And I never understood this verse for 30 years as a minister till about 3 or 4 months ago. I was studying this. It says, but I am a worm and not a man. You know, most people say, well, he's just this lowly, beaten, just, I mean, they've torn his beard out. They've whipped his back down to his flesh. He's a worm. That's not what that is. He says, I'm a worm. And folks, are you ready to worship? Are you ready to get something so good you're just going to go, I got to write that down. I got to get this sermon. It's online, and those listen online, this is exciting. He says, I'm a worm. I looked that up. He says, I'm a tola, T-O-L-A. There's a tola worm that lives today, and that's exactly what he's talking about here. He says, I'm a worm. I'm a tola worm. And I said, okay, what's a tola worm? And here's what it is. It's this little maggot kind of worm that when it ends its life, at its last days, it does two things. Before it dies, it goes up and it makes its way up on a tree. When it gets up on the tree, its last act before death is it lays all of its eggs on that tree. It gives birth to children on that tree. And then it dies, and when it dies, the tola, and it's used by the Jews to make things for color, it dies and leaves a crimson spot on the tree of red. Wait a minute. You're telling me that there's a worm that will climb up a tree, give birth to its children, and then die a crimson death. Absolutely. And then 3 days after it dies, the red turns into a white flake and leaves the cross. Folks, if you're not getting excited right now, are you ready for this? Our Jesus Christ became a worm. David said hundreds of years before this that there's going to be a Savior who's going to climb up on a tree, give birth to children around the world as its dying breath, leave a crimson stain, and 3 days later, not going to be on that cross. That's what Jesus Christ does. I'm telling you, I have confidence that my God has left a breadcrumb trail and said, if you want to find life, it is to God's glory for him to hide that gift, but it is to the King's glory to discover it. That's what God wants us to do, and I just want to encourage you because while he was up on that cross, he was giving birth to children. He looked at a woman and says, woman, your son. Son, your mother. He looked at a thief on the cross, and he said, I'm giving birth on this thing. I may be a worm, but I'm giving birth on this thing. He says to a thief, today you will be with me in paradise, and he's giving birth to children. He looks at a man holding a hammer and a nail with blood splattered all over him, and he says to a Roman soldier, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing. And that soldier kneels down and says, truly he is the Son of God. Listen, if a Roman can figure it out, if a thief can figure it out, maybe you and I can figure it out that he is the Son of God. Give God praise this morning, can you? My God sets the appointed times, and he's got my future. He's got my tomorrow. He's got whatever I need in my future. Not only that, but God never misses an appointment. As human beings, we miss appointments, don't you? Have you ever been late for anything? Some of you are married to late people. How many of you are married to someone that no matter what you do to leave on time? No, don't raise your hand. You are just going to be late. You just know it's going to happen. God never misses an appointment. I have met more Christians. Today, the church will be packed more than ever before. Let me encourage you, pack next Sunday out more than ever before. And the next Sunday, more than ever before. And the next, and July, and August, and September. Why? Because God never misses an appointment that he sets. And he set it aside and said, on 6 days you shall work. And on the seventh day, I have set it as an appointed time. Did you miss my appointment? Why? Because he wants to show the glory of God on that seventh day. Let me just encourage you, because here it is in Galatians 8:9. This is really sad, but I see this as a pastor. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've worked with teenagers for 25 years, and I'll see teenagers just standing up, jumping up and down. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, God, you're awesome. I see some of your children who have walked with God that are no longer walking with God because of this. They missed their appointments. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God's. Verse 9, but now that you know God, or rather, God knows you, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved all over again? Every one of us know people who have gone back into their bad old habits. We know someone on this planet that used to walk with God and they don't walk with God anymore. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're struggling this morning. You're saying, you know what? I'm here. I'm here because it's Easter. I'm here because it's the right thing. I'm here because it's my mom and dad want me to be here. And we just do this as a family. Let me encourage you to do something more. Don't go back and be enslaved by those things. Christ came to set you free. And for freedom, he died and rose again. You don't have to be a slave to those old habits. People talk about saving grace. You remember when you got saved? I love the day I got saved, but can I tell you something that's greater than saving grace? Sustaining grace. I like saving grace, but I cherish sustaining grace. The day I gave my life to Jesus Christ was awesome, but today, oh, thank God he can sustain us. I don't know about you, but I think it's really hard to stay consistent. Right? You see people that get excited in a new job, go ask them in a year how they're doing, how excited they are at that new job. You ask somebody who got married on the day they were wed, man, that is saving grace. I got married. I met the sweetheart of my life. I wooed her. I bought her flowers. I wrote poetry that I will never share with a single human being. I did the cheesy of cheese. But I was so in love, that was my saving grace. Find that person 10 years from now and see how they speak to that loved one. See, it's not the saving grace that's so great, which is great, it's amazing, but that sustaining grace is awesome. See, my God is a sustaining grace. He's going to keep me. He's going to hold me. See, he doesn't get tired of me. He doesn't say, man, I remember, Mitch, when you were 19, you were so in love with me. You used to just read your Bible all night long. You used to talk about this, and now crack a book. Now, God doesn't look at me and go, well, I don't love you as much anymore because you're not doing as much. God loves you whether or not you're doing anything. His loving, saving grace is the same sustaining grace today. He wants you to come in and be loved by him. His grace is free. And if the church has one message today, it's this. Stop trying to earn it, or stop beating yourself over the works that you keep trying to do. God's grace is free and absolutely has everything to do with Jesus and nothing to do with you. That ought to give you hope. God's grace is awesome. God's grace kept Jesus when he was in that garden. He was sweating blood drops. Remember that? I can't even imagine that. He's like, God, I don't want to do this. You know, when he left the throne, hey, I got this. He became a human, I got this. John the Baptist baptized him, I got this. Now he's going to a cross. He's like, God, I don't got this. I don't want this. Take this cup. No. Not my will, but your will be done. It is the sustaining grace of God that kept Jesus moving forward. And can I tell you something? It ought to be Jesus moving forward that keeps you moving forward. The sustaining grace says, God, not my will. I know I'm going through hell and high water. I know my life's not perfect. But God, because Jesus Christ didn't quit, I'm not going to quit. That's what sustaining grace does. It says, I'm not a quitter. Why? Because Jesus isn't a quitter, and he's going to keep me going. Some of you are facing things in the world. I read this 2 weeks ago, and I said, I'm going to use it. I love my devotions. I was reading in my devotions, having a great time with the Lord, and the Lord began to speak to me. He said, some of you got devils in your life. You got things around you. I mean, you look at this world, right? You can't turn the news on. We live in a world full of snakes. I was reading something about snakes the other day. Do you know that venomous snakes do not exist above 7,000 feet elevation? That's right. This is true. A study published by Dr. Lawrence Klauber found that rattlesnakes and other venomous snakes seldom can you find them at 7,000 feet. And at 9,000 feet, you're just not going to find snakes. Let me just say that again. God's sustaining grace is so great that as I'm moving through all the devils and the snakes in this world, because some of you are living at too low of an altitude in your Christian walk, and you're wondering why there are so many snakes and devils in your life, because you got to get to a new altitude. Oh, yeah. Some of you have just got to get your altitude up a little bit. You need to keep going. You need to keep working through the devils. And the higher you get, the more you're going to see the glory of God, and the less you're going to see of those devils. Just get yourself to a place where you're at an altitude with God at a new level. There are new devils, but you can get to a certain level and you go, you know what? This is kind of a nice place to be. There's no snakes at this altitude. Get with God. Get with God and get to a new level in your life. If you remain in the world's altitude, if you are at common levels, then you're going to find all of these things hitting you over and over again. Do you know Good Friday is such an oxymoron? My kids, when they were small, did you ever ask that question? Why do they call it Good Friday? I mean, it is the darkest day. I mean, the world offered up the Savior to heaven, and heaven rejected it. The Son of God reaching to heaven, and heaven turned its back on that moment. It was the darkest day in human history. Can I tell you something? 3 days later, some of you are in some of the darkest days of your life. Some of you are saying, what's going on, God? I feel like you don't hear me. Can I tell you? Hold on. God has an appointment, and God never misses an appointment. Some of you are just in that darkness because God's trying to do a work in your life. He's trying to refine you. He wants you to die to your old ways so you can live in your new ways. Some of you need to take up a cross, get on it, die to yourself so that you can live for Jesus. But you're living for yourself. You haven't taken up a cross. You're just looking at the cross. And Jesus said, unless a man is willing to take up his cross, forsaking everything, he cannot follow me. It is the strangest thing. Think about this. Darkness descended. Satan mocked. The disciples ran. But heaven just started counting to 3, 1. Satan's down there partying. He's throwing, I mean, he's popped the champagne. The demons are going, we did it. We just killed God. 2. Hey, wait a minute. I mean, the earth is shaking. The world is celebrating. The Pharisees are gloating. The Romans have just absolutely crucified him. 3. That's all God has to do is count to 3. 3 is such an awesome number. 3 is the Trinity. 3 into the fiery furnace. 3 levels on Noah's Ark to save the world. 3 temptations of Adam. 3 victories of temptations of Jesus. 3 archangels. 3 witnesses on the transfiguration. So the next time darkness is overshadowing you, just count to 3. That's all you have to do. Satan comes against you and you say, man, I just feel like it's the darkest thing. Your relationships aren't working. Things aren't going well. Just count to 3. Can I tell you, God is going to show up. You just listen for the trumpet because Calvary happened. God says, hold on, hold on, hold on. You know what's amazing about this whole thing? When Jesus went up there and they crucified him, let me close with this. When they crucified Jesus Christ, what was absolutely amazing to me is he was there for the Passover. You know, the Jews are celebrating Passover. You understand what that is, right? When Moses was in the wilderness, right? You guys got this? You all saw Moses, Prince of Egypt, when you were kids, the cartoon. Moses is in the wilderness, or he's in Egypt, and God says, I want you to go in the wilderness. I want to save my people. I want to save my people, redeem them from Pharaoh. So Moses goes to Pharaoh, and what does Pharaoh do? No. He starts bringing plagues, right? The frogs, the Nile, the blood in the river, and gnats and darkness and hail, fire, and brimstone. And all. Remember the 10th plague? The 10th plague was the plague of the death of the firstborn. God sent the angel of death for the firstborn male in every family. And God told Moses, he says, what am I going to do? Death. And God could have said, you know what, Moses? You guys have sinned. That's why you were here for 400 years in Egypt. Your sin got you in this mess to begin with. Let me say that again. Our sin has gotten us in this mess. And God comes along and says, I'm going to save you. Moses, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to have our children die too? He says, no. You go get a lamb. You get a lamb. And you put that lamb, and you take the blood, and you sprinkle that blood of the lamb over the doorpost. And that death angel is going to go right past you. Now we have a Passover, and we have the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus takes the death angel and says, you can just go ahead and pass Mitch Olson's life. You can just go ahead and pass their life. Because the death angel, death, sees the blood of Christ and passes on by. That's the good news. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the great news of Easter, that death is going to pass us by. Don't miss the forest for the trees. I meet people all the time. They go, well, it's Easter. Don't miss the forest, folks. This service is a tree, but we miss the forest because we're standing at the tree. Well, this is great. Awesome. I'd love to have this every Sunday. This was awesome every Sunday. Every Sunday. This message of the resurrection of Christ, families here worshiping, moms and kids and dads and uncles and grandparents and friends, we should do this every week. Don't miss the forest for the tree. I have an awesome dog. She knows 21 tricks. She's dumb as a rock. I can't keep her in the yard. I've got over a half an acre. I've got pine trees to play on. I got a fort for her to play on. I got a swing set for her to jump on. I've got toys and everything galore. I go outside, she's running, and I have to keep my eye on her. She'll go to the fence. She'll walk right up to the fence, and all day long, she'll sit 3 feet from the fence, staring at it. It's got a one of those underground shock things, and she's got a collar on, and she's just looking and going, how do I get out? I have had to get insert those little wing nuts to wire the wire together where she's chewed it through. How she's not been electrocuted, I have no idea. She's an intelligent dog. She's as dumb as a rock. She stands there and she looks at it. That's all she does. She just stares at the fence. She stares at the fence instead of turning around and seeing the freedom. We sit there and we look at Adam and Eve. One tree, but a whole forest. And they miss the forest for the tree. Don't mess with the one tree. And like my dog, there's Adam and Eve standing there staring at the tree. How do we eat from it? How about you eat from the hundreds of other trees? How about enjoying the entire forest? I'd like to enjoy my freedom, but I'm about to go into bondage. And we as humans, we miss the forest for the tree. And Easter is all about a tree that opened up the forest. If you've missed that, you've missed it all, because you're just standing staring at the restriction instead of turning around to the glory of the freedom. That's what God offers us today. Easter. Thanks, Pastor Phil, for encouraging me today to hit a home run or knock it out of the park or whatever he said. But honestly, how hard is it? I don't have to preach a message. Jesus already did. How hard is it to love God because he first loved us? It's kind of an easy message, folks. I hope you get it. I hope you get the forest because Jesus got the tree. Let's stand. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Are you excited? It's Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. Amen. I'm going to say something and you just say, he is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Heavenly Father, we go into the world with the best news I've ever heard in my life. Jesus opened the forest because Jesus climbed on a tree. Thank you, God, that he gave birth to us, his children. And now we go. May the peace of God grant you all the glory and all the peace and all the wonder. May you go out and have the glory of kings to discover what God has hidden for us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.